Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Support WrestleTalk!
Donate on Patreon.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast at the end of a very long journey. I'm Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swap Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How are you feeling?
This is the epilogue. This is the P-creds of our entire journey. So all the other nights I've been really raring to go. Raw reactions live, SmackDown reactions live, Raw Wrestle Ramble, WrestleMania Wrestle Ramble. But now, because we're trying to sync back up into normal life,
yeah.
I got home at 5 a.m. and I slept for 4 hours.
Oof.
And then I forced myself awake.
Yeah.
And then fell back asleep for 45 minutes and forced myself awake again. Thanks to the very kind help of someone drilling.
Oh, nice.
In the... What, it felt like it was in my head. It felt like they were putting a picture up in my brain.
Oh, mate.
But yeah, I've been up since then. I peak and troughs. I'll be excited and running around screaming bird raptor. And then there was a particularly low moment after I had a bath for no reason at 12:30.
Yeah.
And I haven't really recovered. How are you feeling?
So I got home around 7 a.m. This morning.
Nice.
And I got into bed. I had a little brief chat with my wife because she wasn't up for work yet. And then I got into bed and I was out and I was asleep. Once again, my wife, I woke up to a text message from my wife saying, I did kiss you goodbye, but there was no stirring you whatsoever. I was like as deep sleep as possible. Light went off at 12:30 and I woke myself up, answered some tweets and text my wife and things like that. I woke up to like a barrage of messages from my wife because we're trying to sort things out for Peru now. So we're going out for dinner with my mum and We're going out for dinner with my mum tonight, but my wife also had to sort out our Peru jabs and things like that. So I got like a bit of a panicked phone call from her about like, you're meant to get your jabs done 8 weeks before you go to Peru. We go in 9. We need to get them done this weekend. So,
oh, that's a fun weekend to bring you back into reality. How many jabs do you need?
I have no idea. My wife has sorted them out. I don't know how many.
Are you okay with needles?
I don't mind them too much, to be honest. I think I'll be okay.
In fact, I prefer them. I know
you're not good with them, are you?
I need a good month. I need a blood test. I booked it a month ago for May.
Yeah.
Just so I've got enough time to deal with the fact it's happening.
I think I'll be okay. I'm just, I was feeling a bit sort of dazed and I was on the phone going like, no, that all sounds good. That sounds good. Yeah, we'll sort it out. Absolutely. That's the restaurant you picked? Yeah, no, it sounds great. Sounds brilliant.
Where are you going?
We're going to a place called Cinnamon Bazaar, I think it's called. It's a curry house. And they've got loads of really nice options. I think I was having a look at the menu on the way here. But then on the way here, just fell right asleep again. Just fell asleep on the tube at about White City and didn't wake up again until Liverpool Street.
What sort of, how hard was this sleep? Was this a head back, mouth open?
I think probably head forwards.
Nice.
Head forwards. And then like, it wasn't like, I wasn't like shocked into awake, but I was like, where am I?
I look at people like you on the tube and I just think, that's sad.
You're pushing yourself too hard, mate. Yeah. That's what I felt like I had done. And Yeah, and then I was like, I finally woke myself up and I was like, I have to go get a coffee. Mm. So I had to go get myself a coffee and a cheese and tomato toasty, which I've not really eaten, and now it is stone cold.
Yeah, I don't know what's happened to my stomach. My stomach's like, well, what are you doing? are we sleeping now or are we what? So I only eat half of something at the moment.
Oh, yeah?
The last four meals I've had, which probably spans 3 days, because I have one meal a day and then bags and bags of chocolate. That's my diet. Perfect sort of carb loading for the marathon.
Can't wait.
In 4 days.
Yep.
Christ. And, I can't, my appetite isn't there yet. So,
yeah,
I got to sync back up to reality.
I might be going for another walk again over the weekend. Nice big long walk. Just trying to, compare yourself to the marathon, which, you know, I'm pretty sure it's about the same level of exercise.
Yeah, well, as we know, walking isn't exercise. That's a normal thing that you do.
Yeah.
It's not above and beyond.
Well, I mean, I just want to thank everyone who has joined us on this incredible journey that we've been on for the past week or so.
Should we talk like we're in The Apprentice? This process has been amazing.
Oh, yeah, I've learned so much. I've really learned a lot about myself, which I can apply in my future businesses, but I will be back, and they haven't seen the last of me
from this process. process.
Yeah, no, thank you seriously for everyone who's joined us, especially those who discovered us via the Metro, as we are one of the top banging pods to listen to over WrestleMania season.
Lovable Londoners.
Yep.
Luke and Ollie.
I like to think we were the best one. I mean, I haven't seen Jericho put out any other podcast. Do you know what podcast he put out today? About the Warriors. You know, the movie Warriors. No WrestleMania review from Jericho. No G1 review from Jericho. Oh, no, we didn't do a G1 review either, in fairness. Mm. But no NXT TakeOver review. Nothing of the sort. He didn't do live streams.
It's not really his bag, though, is it?
No.
He talks about Superman comics, despite not having read any for 2 decades. It's more his wheelhouse.
But so thank you very much for everyone who has joined us. We're going to jump into the show right now, talking about Braun Strowman's appearance on SmackDown and diving into the rest of the SmackDown after WrestleMania. Here's the show. Dig, dig, diggity, dig, diggity, dog.
Breaking. Dig, dig, which was a fine show.
Yeah. Yeah,
it was a fine show. It's sort of caught in that between WrestleMania and the Superstars shakeup next week, where they can't really start much, but they did start a few things. They started a hell of a lot more than Raw did.
Yep.
But I think Raw lowered our expectations so much based on that really disappointing flat finishing angle that we were easier on this show. It wasn't like an all-time great after Mania episode.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. But we said about Raw, really they only started one storyline, which was the Becky Lacey Evans thing. And that carried over into SmackDown. But SmackDown also started Randy versus Ali, Owens versus Rusev, Braun versus Joe, the Kofi versus The Bar, maybe, or when his kids eventually turn on Kofi. So
an intriguing page cliffhanger.
Exactly. A brand new gimmick for the Iconics, where they are going to take on the toughest competition. And they took on some really stiff competition this week.
Hey, new tag champs.
New tag champs, yeah.
The Hardy Boys.
So really, this was a very packed show. Shane and Greg, There was a lot of stuff that was packed into this 2 hours.
I'm liking it more as we're talking about it.
Yeah,
actually
I agree with that.
It's not that I wasn't down on the show, but it was actually pretty good. There was just no killer angles this week.
No, but
which,
we're going
to. I always enjoy it.
And we'll get some surprises next week. I'm still thinking we might see a Pete Dunne call up, maybe, unless they want to really keep him as part of that NXT UK brand, or a Buddy Murphy. He lost on 205 Live in his rematch against Tony Nese. So maybe that'd be Buddy's swan song to the 205 brand to go to either Raw or SmackDown and be in that intercontinental picture.
Well, there was a bunch of people who turned up on SmackDown, as there were a bunch of SmackDown people who turned up on Raw.
But it was only shocking when The Bar did it.
Yeah, but we had Drew McIntyre in the opening segment. The Bar revealed him as the sixth man.
But was he really in the match?
Yeah, we'll get on to that. There was, who else showed up?
Braun.
Lars.
Yeah, and Lars Sullivan. Yeah.
But yeah, the main one that we're going to talk about is Braun Strowman, because there was a segment in the middle of the show where R-Truth and Carmella recapped Becky Lynch winning. Kofi Kingston winning.
Yeah.
Seth Rollins winning.
Yeah, there's a lot of recaps of who won at WrestleMania, as well as video packages that showed you who won at WrestleMania, just in case you were tuning in late to the show.
I feel like people are going to call me a hypocrite again, but you wanted SmackDown to be a living, breathing universe. You want people to talk about things that aren't just within their narrow tunnel vision feud. I'm like, yeah, I do. Not all the time. There's a balance. But yeah,
every promo to start with, hey guys, guess what happened at WrestleMania? Like, the building was there.
Yeah.
They were all there live.
And it's all like, I just want, before I say anything, I want to say congratulations, Becky Lynch.
So Carmella and Truth came out. I thought Truth was really good here. He congratulated Carmella on beating Andre the Giant in the Royal Rumble. And that's how she's got her new brand new trophy that will be around for, I'm going to say, 3 weeks. And then it won't be seen again until next year's Mania. Or maybe it won't be seen again if it does get renamed to the China Memorial Battle Royal.
Mm-hmm. R-Truth, like, she was saying, no, it was the Women's Battle Royal. And R-Truth says, we're saying the same thing. R-Truth's comedic timing and delivery is perfect. I just want him to be on every week.
Yeah.
He never gets tired at the moment in terms of, like, his act. But Carmella started to tease that this is going to be the start of big things for her.
Yeah, she talked about this time last year, she won the SmackDown Women's Championship. She cashed in Money in the Bank and won the title. So
skirting around that was a very heel move.
Yeah, and it was down to the Iconics beating up Charlotte Flair. But, you know, times have changed since this time last year. A lot of things have changed. Carmella's got different colour hair, for example. And so she said that there's going to be, this is a new start for her, and she's going to be back into that title picture this year, which I'm not massively into the idea of.
Well, I mean, I thought she was starting the feud with Samoa Joe.
Well, yeah, because Samoa Joe
came down.
Because
that's who
came out. Joe came down next and completely killed R-Truth with the clutch. Like, he choked him out and then threw him out of the ring via the ropes.
Mm.
So he essentially just threw him into the ropes and Truth had to bundle out of the ring.
He sort of held his face. Because those ropes are very hard and solid. They're taut ropes. There's not a lot of slack in them. If you're just whipped into them face first on the downward descent, yeah, it's going to hurt a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
But Joe then cut a very fiery promo saying, kind of getting over how he beat Rey Mysterio in under a minute at WrestleMania, or maybe exactly a minute. And here he is. He just, like, took out R-Truth here.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, is he going to get over a I can beat people in under a minute kind of thing? I'd be very up for that. He says, "There's, you know, no one can sort of touch me. Whose music should now hit but Braun Strowman?"
Braun.
And this just felt so fresh.
Yeah, didn't it just?
Because it's weird, like, when people show up on Raw, it immediately feels a bit stale. But there's something about a Raw guy who's been there for ages turning up on SmackDown. Like, I think
it's because they're stars.
Yeah, but it might be that they've presented with a lot more protection and stuff.
Absolutely, that's the key to it. Is they are presented on Raw as, like, the top guys, and they don't go across to other brands. Whereas these sort of, like, lower mid-carder people can sort of float across, unless you're Becky Lynch, I guess, and Kofi Kingston. But yeah, Braun just felt like a really big deal going across to SmackDown, and I think that this segment was really needed for Braun, because Braun has been doing nothing but comedy nonsense since Hell in a Cell, really. Or since Crown Jewel. Mm. Since he turned babyface and lost to Brock Lesnar. I feel like Braun's been kind of stuck in this sort of comedy rut, feuding with Baron Corbin, being put into the title match, being taken out of title matches, then feuding with Colin Jost and Michael Shea from Saturday Night Live and being in the Battle Royal. So I think that Braun needed something where he could come out and be the monster among men once again. And I think this was a very much a big success for that.
It was a soft reset after a terrible year for him between WrestleMania 34 and WrestleMania 35, which started, like, I like the Nicholas stuff, but I said at the time, this is the suffering succotash moment. And he was just so horrendously booked in that terrible feud with Kevin Owens, where he was the heel, really. And you started to go, oh man, I feel for you, Kevin Owens. Then he was randomly a heel. Out of nowhere, just because they needed a heel, and he sided with Drew McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler, the Dogs of War.
Yeah.
That was an upper card vortex, I'd say. And then you got all the start, stop, push, like you said. And then, yeah, this comedy battle royal on the kickoff show.
Yeah.
Braun Strowman was one of the hottest things in the company in 2017. And just last year was systematically chipped away at through inept booking.
Yeah, it really
but
was.
But this felt like a soft reset. He came out, he didn't just, he felt like a different character.
Yeah.
He looked leaner on the arms. He was not smiling. He looked mean. Mean and lean.
He came out looking for a fight. Mm. And I think someone like Samoa Joe, that works for brilliantly because Samoa Joe always looks like he's ready for a fight. So I thought this was awesome. And they had this really hefty brawl of just like big clotheslines in the corner, Joe kicking him, trying to get in the clutch. That one's the key to this is Joe couldn't get in the clutch. Braun couldn't slam him. And eventually Joe bailed. And it just gave you enough of a tease to say, hey guys, the Superstar Shakeup is next week. So both these people could be on the same brand. Either Joe could move to Raw or Braun could move to SmackDown.
Yeah. I would never have picked Braun Strowman to move to SmackDown. That's just not been in my mind at all. But now this has happened. I would much prefer... excuse me. Voice is finally falling out of my face. I would much prefer Braun to go to SmackDown and feud with Joe than Joe to move to Raw. I think that would really help revamp Braun and just close off that bad year that he's had.
Yeah.
And just put that behind him. New brand. Back to being a killer.
Although on the flip side of that, if Joe does go to Raw, that would probably mean that Finn would go to SmackDown, who also feels like he's in need of a fresh change of scenery. Get him away from Bobby Lashley, get him away from all of that Leo Rush stuff, and move him over to SmackDown, where he's got like a whole new fresh crop of crompetition.
Crumpets.
Yes, thank you very much, Andy. Yes, a fresh batch of crumpets for him to face over on SmackDown Live.
Finn Balor does not have that many carbs. Can't have a crumpet.
But yes,
he'll lose an ab.
So Braun going over to SmackDown and actually being in that sort of US title picture almost feels like it elevates the US title somewhat as well.
Yeah.
So I think that's actually really good. Mm. I'd be well up for Braun over on SmackDown. That would feel like a real fresh coat of paint for him. A fresh crumpet of paint.
Especially because the main event scene on SmackDown is great. Kofi Kingston, Daniel Bryan. I mean, well, we don't know what's going to happen next week, but a Braun Strowman injection into that mix. It's exciting. It's a lot of potential feuds and storylines that I haven't really considered.
Yeah.
I'm excited about Braun again.
Yeah.
It just shows, like, you know, you can book someone into oblivion for a year, but just with... That's why Raw and SmackDown after Mania are so important, because it does allow you to jumpstart someone.
Yeah, like Macy Evans.
Yeah, or Bird Raptor.
Yeah, or absolutely Bird Raptor is going to be the biggest thing in 2019.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So before we get on to the full show, let's have some super chats. Randy Andy Datsun.
I think you may have run people dry over the weekend because we only had one super chat so far.
Well, that and no one ever cares about SmackDown, so no. that's to be expected.
But it is from, of course, it's from Tomo.
Tomo!
Who has changed his name to Tomo, Andy Datsun's number one fan, for whatever reason.
You've got quite a few fans.
I know.
People love
my
Andy.
My
Datty
Bojangles, as they are.
Is that what you're calling
that's what
them
I've decided.
Now?
Someone just suggested, I can't remember who it was, but it was wonderful.
Datty Bojangles.
So his
Datty Wait. Datty Bojangles?
Yes. Because Tatty Bojangles means lady chest.
Tatty Bojangles?
Yeah, is that an Ali G thing? Does that feel way back when?
I remember someone saying it on Mock the Week, but that's about it.
Okay.
But his super chat is not a question. It's just Bird Raptor for WWE champion. It's what everyone wants.
He's over.
Absolutely, he is over. I've just seen a Jeff Hassonen has put a super chat
in. Hashtag follow the buzzards.
Mm. Yeah. Is it a buzzard?
Well, here's the thing. So, we said yesterday in the Raw review, Google a picture of a buzzard. It doesn't look like a buzzard. I've since been told that if you Google American buzzard, it does look like that. And then I've been further clarified. But again, I'm only being told this via YouTube, so I could be wrong on this. Americans have been misusing the word buzzard forever. And what they're actually talking about is a vulture.
A turkey vulture.
Yes, and that's not a buzzard.
No, that's not. I mean, ornithology has never been your strong spot.
Yes. So that apparently is where the confusion has come from, because as Brits, we hear buzzards, we Google a picture of a buzzard, we see a buzzard. Yeah. But Americans see a vulture. And that's where, and it's not follow the vultures. So apparently that's what I've been told. I don't know how true that is.
Oh, we're getting a few more in just because we are talking about people. Nicholas Woodstra says,
into the microphone, Andy.
Nicholas Woodstra says, hands on hips, iconic.
Oh, yes. Iconic.
It's very good.
They're so great. They had to. God, they were my favourite thing on the show, really, apart from Bird Raptor.
That's an American buzzard.
Yeah.
Can we see that?
That is a turkey vulture.
Well, that's what an American buzzard is, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just checking. I haven't got any incriminating tags over JBL
style. Situation.
Six-fingered Jake says, what is your favourite CM Punk match?
Money in the Bank 2011.
Yeah,
it's got to be Money in the Bank 2011, surely.
That is a five-star. Not just, I mean, it's a botch-filled match.
Oh, yeah, it is.
They
a botch
are falling over each other at times. But in terms of a layout of sports entertainment, drama, the Alberto Del Rio cash-in, the blow of the kiss.
I think you can almost compare it to Kofi Bryan in that way, because that was quite botchy at the start, where neither of them felt like they were quite on the same page. But the story and everything took over and they managed to sort of find their groove and then tell an incredible story. And I think the same thing happened with Punk and Cena at Money in the Bank.
Well, I love that match so much. I even love it for those botchy faults. For me, those botches just gets over both guy wants to hurt each other.
Mm.
And it's a big... Yeah, what other
suggestions? Yeah, we've got from Jay-Z, who I think has been very generous over the weekend.
He hasn't been, Jay-Z.
Gentlemen, thank you for the last 5 days of live wrestling coverage. You made the 756 hours just fly by. You also provided the best moment of the weekend, bringing Pete on full time. It was brilliant. Thanks again, gents.
Yeah, congratulations, Pete.
Chopper Pete, called up to the main roster.
My wife said that she was nearly brought to tears. By it. So there was a really sweet moment.
Hey, I'm a generous guy.
You just make it the boyhood dream.
Humble and generous.
No, everyone I showed it to was brought to nearly tears as well. So
yes. Not actual tears.
No.
But near tears.
Yeah, just like, oh.
Yeah. Well, I don't want people to show visible emotion, but I want it to bubble beneath the surface.
Yeah, you don't want to Pixar the situation. No.
We're British.
Paul Pierce says, Mojo Rawley, Mojo Rawley, Mojo Rawley.
Mojo.
Yeah, Mojo. Maybe it's going somewhere now. Now he's got the little new face paint thing. It's like when Samoa Joe painted a penis on his face in TNA.
Mm.
And it was the whole start of a new career for him. Maybe this is what Mojo needed.
Yeah. Well, he's a great promo. We'll see. I've not got... I'm not in a give WWE the benefit of the doubt mood after Raw. So, yes, but kick us off with what happened on SmackDown, because I took no notes.
So,
for a change.
New Day opened up the show. Kofi was massively over today. They had this big sort of rainbow of balloons. The crowd were massively chanting, "You deserve it." Mm-hmm. And then Big E and Xavier Woods cut these wonderful, heartfelt promos. Xavier was talking about how he wasn't always in WWE, but eventually he, quote, made it to WWE, because that's where you got to phrase it. You don't go to WWE, you make it to WWE, because it's the big leagues.
You are lucky.
Yeah. And he said that when he met Kofi, it felt to him like meeting one of his heroes. And so he was so, like, just thrilled to have been a part of Kofi's celebration. And I think you can see that. If you look at that image of Kofi winning, Xavier, like, the way that he's hugging Kofi, it's so lovely.
He's ugly crying. He's like this. That's his face.
Good for podcast listeners. And, we've been saying, the video that's on Twitter of MVP and Shad Gaspard watching the match and then both crying while they're watching it. It's just like, it felt like a really lovely, lovely moment. And it was a lovely, lovely moment. And I just felt this capped it all off with Kofi and Big E being able to say these very nice things. It's awkwardly staged because they're standing in a row but still having to try and talk to each other, like a bit like we are. But we sort of angle each other.
Yeah, I didn't mind it. I think it was a really nice setup as well, with this rainbow of balloons over the ring, pancakes in the ring post in the corner. I'm like, I don't feel like this is devaluing the title at all.
No.
Like, I always looked at the New Day as a tag team act, or like an intercontinental, you know, mid-card title act, because of just how cartoonish their gimmick is. But here they are holding the WWE Championship, and I'm like, this is brilliant.
Works really well.
Yeah, and Big E got his split spot in again.
Yeah, absolutely, because the crowd started chanting, because he talked about doing the splits, and the crowd erupted into applause, and it felt like a really ad-lib moment of like, go on, do it again.
Yeah,
do it again. And Big E then started making a joke about, we've only got so much time out here.
Yeah, but he did it.
He did it anyway.
I mean, they probably sacrificed time on the main event because of it.
Oh, yeah, quite. But this felt like a really lovely and charming and genuine moment, and Kofi pointed out that his kids, the Kofi Kidstons, were at ringside, and Chi-Chi was at ringside as well. His wife got a Chi-Chi chant from the crowd, which really, like, that made Kofi break up a little bit, really, and burst out laughing.
One of the people watching the live stream said that their dog is called Chi-Chi. So when everyone started chanting Chi-Chi, it freaked out. Did not know what was going on. But then, so we're like, well, where's this going to go?
I said, Daniel Bryan's music's going to hit in a minute, and that'll be where you get the heat.
And I joked, or the bar.
And I was about to say, I mean, yeah, because that would be rubbish, wouldn't it?
I'm not kidding. Beat the bar, like Sheamus's music hit. They come down. And we were just like, oh my God, no.
It was one of my favorite moments of the live stream. Yeah.
But look, that makes sense. I don't agree with what they did on Monday night, but they did do it. It makes sense for them to come out here and, you know, there is a continuity. It's not exciting or dramatic, but it does make sense.
But it doesn't make sense when commentary then say, well, the New Day are looking for redemption for what happened on Monday night. And I'm like, they won.
Yeah.
They beat them on Monday. There's no redemption to be had.
Anyway, the bar just sort of trash the New Day for a bit, and then they challenged them for a six-man for the main event.
With the Scottish cycle path, Drew McIntyre.
Yeah, revealed Drew McIntyre, who came down. And, yeah, so someone messaged me to say that I joked that it would be Baron Corbin, but I got Drew McIntyre, and I was still cynical about it. Drew McIntyre has been teaming with Baron Corbin for months. Look, I feel like they're in the same mid-card of cool-off period. Look at the match Drew had with Roman
that
at WrestleMania. It's not it didn't feel like a big, oh my God, name. If that was, well, I wouldn't want it to be Braun Strowman, but look at how Braun came out later. And that felt like a genuine big moment and impactful. Whereas the Drew McIntyre.
Drew has been massively cooled off by his booking since the split with Dolph Ziggler. Actually, even before then. I think as soon as the Dogs of War became a faction, he really cooled off. And he's only cooled off more and more and more. And he had had some good moments after he sort of like finally went solo and he was beating up all three members of the Shield. He did have his moments. But you've only got to look at that WrestleMania match to see that the crowd don't buy into him as this dominating heel at the moment. And that's not because of Drew. That's just the way that Drew's been presented.
He's always been booked, more often than not, as doing someone else's bidding.
Yeah.
He's been the other part of a three-man faction, and he's not the leader.
Yeah.
So if WWE is suddenly like, hey, look, now he's a big deal, and they book him in a load of things, it takes a while for people to accept him as that.
Yeah, you've got to rebuild from there.
Anyway, that's the main event set up for the end of the night.
But we've got another six-man tag to kick us off match-wise. It was Aleister Black and Ricochet and Ali versus Andrade, Shinsuke Nakamura and Rusev. Three former NXT champions in this match. I enjoyed when everyone did the sit-down spot.
That was great.
That was good fun.
Yeah, they all had their own ways of getting into it as well. Of course, Black did the
Kebrada.
Mustafa Ali rolled through the top and middle ropes.
Yeah.
Can't remember how Ricochet
did the same thing as well, but they were sort of on opposite sides of the ring.
I just assumed Ricochet
not opposite
did
sides, but they're on different sides.
A shooting star Phoenix splash reverse senton.
But it was lovely, and they sat in there and they did that. Everyone ran wild, hit their big moves. Zelina Vega caused a distraction to her IRL husband for a near fall.
I was just going to say there were two married couples in this match, but it was interesting that one was on the same side and one was on the opposite side.
Mm. I was about to say who's the other one, but I forgot the Lana was out there. Yeah, so thanks, Randy. And then Ali hit the 450 on Andrade and got the win. Nice for the baby faces, very house showy, but good fun.
Yeah, it was a good match. Got an NXT chant as well. And then everyone's there, they're celebrating. Randy Orton, legit out of nowhere. The crowd didn't even react to him coming in, so it must have been very quick how he got in there. RKO on Ali.
Yeah, a really, really lovely RKO on Ali, setting up a little feud between them.
Carrying
on the feud that they sort of were starting earlier this year.
I'm trying to think of how it would work. Is there any way Orton can hit an RKO on the 054?
No, because he lands with his head facing the
turnbuckle.
He'll find a way.
He'll twist him as he comes down.
Although I'd like to see Orton go to Raw.
Yeah. I don't really care about where Randy ends up.
I mean, I'm not massively into it. Do you mean Orton or Datsun?
Oh, yes, Orton.
I was thinking about this as well. Excuse me. Talking about people who weren't on this show. I could almost see Daniel Bryan going to Raw and starting a feud with Seth Rollins over the Universal title.
Wow.
Because we were initially saying AJ, but AJ's now injured. I think a good replacement for that would be Daniel Bryan going over still as the Planet's champion, carrying around his Hempyweight championship and just introducing, almost pretending that the Raw audience doesn't know that he lost the championship on SmackDown, and he's just presenting himself as the champion of Raw and the champion of the Planet.
That could be good, but Orton just starts to storm down the ramp afterwards.
Making fun of the lights.
Yeah, that was great. He was pretending to be blinded by them, which is a reference to the weird lighting situation over the weekend where whatever venue WWE were in, there'd just be a load of lights blinding a portion of the audience.
Yeah, apparently, according to Orton, the crowd that had the lights in him missed 90% of the match because they just had these lights blinding directly in them. And if you look at the picture that Orton shared, you can't see a thing.
And that's like, that must suck for him as well.
Yeah.
Like, he wants people to see the match.
Yeah. He called it an effing great match.
It was a great...
I really liked AJ versus Orton. It was awesome. And then, as if that wasn't enough from out of nowhere, Kevin Owens showed up and stunned Rusev. So, like, equally just from out of nowhere.
Which I think Rusev is still selling.
Yeah, it was. Lovely comedy goofy selling from Rusev. So you kind of set up another mini feud there as well. Good stuff.
I mean, I'm not totally into the idea of Owens versus Rusev. I think Owens should be in the main event mix. Former Universal Champion Kevin Owens, lest we forget. I felt like this was kind of a little reset of KO's character as well.
Yeah.
He wasn't the talk show guy. He wasn't the, look, I'm just a family guy and I'm dropping the phone. He seemed very serious here, but as a babyface.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping they make something good of Owens. He's one of the most talented people in the company.
See what the dark match was for SmackDown? It was Owens versus Zayn.
Oh. I mean, yeah, I want that match, but I don't want that now. I want it after 2 years of a babyface tag team together.
Yeah. Kayla Braxton was backstage interviewing the Usos who congratulate Kofi Kingston, and they plug the first time ever match between them and the Hardys later on tonight. Then we got the Carmella stuff with Truth, Braun and Joe. And then we got Bird Raptor.
Oh, I was going to do Iconics. Well, Bird Raptor was now.
Well, Iconics came out, and then we got the Bird Raptor promo.
Right.
Because it's that sort of like weird WWE stage where someone comes out, then they cut to a backstage thing, and then you carry on the segment that you started the segment previous.
They also went to shake Braun's hand
because
they passed him as he was walking out.
Ships passing in the night.
Yeah, Braun... I can't wait for that feud.
But yeah, then we got the Bird Raptor promo, which was wonderful. It's still great.
I want, because the Iconics were so good, we're going to get onto it. I want the Iconics to just, if they're on the same brand, if they're on SmackDown with Braun, to just jump around him. Hey, Braun, what's going on? Leave me alone. I want serious Braun, but I also want that.
Yeah, I love this Bird Raptor gimmick. First time I've seen Laurie in a couple of days, and it's the first time he's seen the Bird Raptor promo. He said, that's the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Mm.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see demonic Jim Henson, Bray Wyatt. I think it's going
to
be great.
Well, the Amazon Prime order is scheduled to arrive tomorrow.
Excellent news.
So check tomorrow's news for maybe we get our own Bird Raptor.
But let's talk about what was objectively the best thing on this show. And that was the Iconics. They came out, newly won tag team championships round their waist. Recapped what happened at WrestleMania.
And well done, Becky.
Well done, Becky. And then they were talking about how they're going to be fighting champions, because that's what champions do. They were talking like it was like a babyface promo, and they revealed, and it was a brilliant camera reveal for the home audience, because you could just see the Iconics standing in the ring, and all of a sudden it just feels like it pulls out ever so slightly to reveal these two jabronis standing in the corner. It was genuinely really funny.
Yeah, it was sort of that we've been here the entire time you have kind of reveal. They're wearing the most indie gear possible.
Indie-rific, yeah.
Very basic, but just with some tassels on a knee pad. And this was, we said it, this was the most relevant or engaging, at least, the women's tag belts have felt since Bayley and Sasha won them.
Yeah.
And they had that really nice emotional moment. But nothing's been done with them since. I know stuff has, but it's not been successful.
Important stuff.
Yeah.
And I think you put it best when you said this was Edge and Christian-like. This felt like Edge and Christian when they were in their proper, like, dude bro phase they were in 2000 with the five-second poses and things like that. And once you said that, I thought, and with this segment, I was like, I want them to hold these belts for a long time. Mm. I hope that WWE give them a really good run with these belts, because they could get over. They could get massively over with this. But particularly Billy Kay, because Billy Kay's comedic timing is very, very good. I think she's my favorite promo of the two. Peyton Royce, I think, is the better wrestler, but I think Billy Kay is my favorite promo of the two. Because she then says, they've got a 45-0 win record. And the face she pulls to say, that's impressive, to this crowd that clearly know that she's lying, it really made me laugh. And then you've got Corey Graves on commentary going like, I've checked Wikipedia, that is true. Mm.
It's really inspired it's not inspired, because this is what they were doing in NXT.
Yeah.
Like, this is the characters they always should have been. And loads of people have always said, why do you like the Iconics? They're rubbish. And if you've only watched the main roster, much like the Revival, you're right if that's all you've seen. But we know how great they can be from their work down in NXT. And it seems now, hopefully... Cold coffee.
Yeah, it's cold. Lovely. That's very cold.
Hopefully now they'll get a chance to show how good they can be.
Yeah, I thought this was great. Mm-hmm. They were called the Brooklyn Bells, Carissa and Kristen. Then with the cut backstage, and Paige here was watching. And Kristen did get a hot tag roll-up at one point for a near fall, but the Iconics won. What a big win it was for them as well, like knocking off this undefeated team.
Yeah.
I loved this segment so, so much.
There was a moment in there at the start where I thought, oh my God, they're just going to be baby faces now. But now it's like any team that holds the women's tag belts, because they've got to do media, are going to be baby faces. So when they revealed... And it's just like, it's a different way to do a heel act.
Yeah.
There's so many acts in WWE right now where it's ragging on the fans or low blows. But this is like, no, we believe we're great. You surely think we're great too.
Yeah.
And
we just beat this team
funny.
That's got a 45-0 undefeated record. And then, go on.
I was just going to say, I'm very excited to see this carry on, hopefully.
So they'll lose the titles next week. Because Paige here was backstage, and she was interviewed by Kayla, who seemed surprised that Paige was there.
Sorry, I was going to say that really annoyed me. Like, what are you doing here, Paige? She works there.
So he said on the line, like, pretty sure Paige works here, doesn't she? She's still employed by SmackDown. She
worked over.
Is that Kayla Braxton? Because I thought it was someone new.
Oh, no. I said it was
because
Kayla.
Because Dasha Fuentes was fired.
Yeah. But I thought that was Kayla.
It's not a one in one out.
But I've searched in.
Yeah, it's Kayla. It's Kayla. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Don't correct me.
But yeah, she's just sort of like swanthers over. Hey, girl. What are you doing here? I was like, oh, God, they're not doing segues anymore. They're doing. They're doing rubbish Hollyoaks acting.
But Paige was here to say that she just wanted to get a closer look at the WWE Women's Tag Team Champions, and she's going to bring some impressive competition next week. And I know a few people have said, like, oh, the Sky Pirates. Sky Pirates don't need Paige. Paige doesn't need the Sky Pirates. But I could certainly see, like, a Rhea Ripley. Like, Rhea Ripley with someone else. Dats has got his hand up.
I think they could use Paige because Vince won't trust them on the mic, so they could have Paige as their voice. But that's the only really only reason why, because
they don't go together.
They don't go together. But,
those,
but
yeah, those are two pieces that do not join together.
Randy's Pritchard him.
But as you've seen with Asuka, all that Vince trusts her to do is just shout random words in English. So they probably won't do the same for the Iconics. Would you think? No, Iconics, the Sky Pirates.
I think it'll be someone like a Rhea Ripley or someone like an actual, like a real big, I don't know, because you don't want to bring up Rhea Ripley as a baby face, maybe.
I don't know.
So, but you know what? It's got me intrigued for next week.
Yeah, I really
want to see it.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what happens.
Out comes a Bastard and Bruce Shane McMahon.
So, by the way, that was the first hour of the show.
Yeah.
That was all really solid to above average stuff.
Really enjoyed it, yeah. Then we got the Did You Know graphic that was talking about how, Raw, after Mania, was the most talked about thing on Twitter, more than the basketball game. And I'm like, mate, that basketball game drew nearly 20 million viewers. You drew your lowest ever viewing figure for the Raw after Mania ever. Don't be bragging about the basketball game, mate.
It's all spin, isn't it?
It is. It's the way that you spin it. But it's okay, because people talked about it on the social media, so that's what counts.
They were complaining about it. The reason it was so big on social media is because they were saying, what a rubbish finish, and retweeting each other.
Yeah, but, you know, people talking about it on Twitter, so that's all that matters. Shane had this really weird moment because he came out limping a little bit and he had this black eye. But as soon as the ad break came back, he seemed fine.
Mm.
It seemed like he wasn't really selling it at all.
The first half of this segment as well, I would have cut. It was, again, congratulations to Becky Lynch. Congratulations to Kofi. Sort of recaps everything that happened at Mania and then goes into his stuff with The Miz.
Yeah.
How he, got his hands up with Miz Dad. That stuff was okay, but I would have just had that condensed down to a 30-second bit at the start and then start with the good Greg Hamilton bit.
Yeah, I was going to say, this did go on for a long time, but once the Greg stuff kicked in, that's when it got really good, because Shane brought in Greg Hamilton to do the best in the world gimmick, and he felt that Greg wasn't doing it as well. He wasn't getting the right fire that he had at WrestleMania, grabbing him by his tie, and then starts dragging him by his tie up the ramp all the way up to the top of the stage, and finally Greg Hamilton gets it right in Shane McMahon's eyes.
So what was... Yeah, and he was trying as Shane was dragging him by the tie. And he says, you got to do this, otherwise...
There'll be repercussions.
There'll be repercussions. And you're like, it's making it harder, not just from the pressure, but also because he's being dragged by his necktie. So what was Shane going... What were the repercussions going to be?
Fired, maybe?
I just felt he was going to hang him. Hang him at the top of the ramp.
I think it was more like a fine, I would imagine, like those referees. basically, the key to this is the crowd trying to see CM Punk.
Mm. Which Shane acknowledged. He just went, oh, please.
Yeah.
I like that. But it's because they were bored, though. Oh, and best in the world.
Yeah.
The best in the world. But my key to this is Greg Hamilton is an excellent ring announcer. Make your people at ringside also have personalities. I want the officials to be called by their names. I want the backstage interviewers to not be robots. I want to know the name of the medical staff.
Yep.
I like it when I know all this.
I thought Greg was great in this segment. I thought he was really, really solid.
I love his voice.
He is good. Recap of Undertaker at Raw. I've just written in my notes here, Richard Attenborough, because you told me to write that down.
Ah, because, do you know why?
Because of Bird Raptor.
Because we were going to do a Richard, David Attenborough.
Yeah. Oh, I've written Richard Attenborough. Welcome to Bird Raptor.
We were going to have a David Attenborough style
It does work.
Nature documentary on Bird Raptor.
Bird of Prey.
Yeah. Do it again. You had a... It's natural habitat.
Yeah. And now we see the Bird Raptor in his natural habitat.
The cardboard box.
The Fight Club reference. And now we got the tag team match for the SmackDown Tag Team Champions. My words are brilliant. And it's the Hardy Boys taking on the Usos for that. Bit of a dream match, this. I didn't realize this was a first-time match. I'd have probably thought they'd have crossed paths at some point.
Just by accident.
But it was nice to... This was like... It was played up as quite a big deal. A bit botchy at times, again. But it really picked up by the end.
Mm. Last half of this match was very good. Yeah. And the last few minutes... were really on the edge of your seat stuff. And I got the... near the end, I thought, I think the Hardys might go over here. And they did. And that's cool. Like, again, it's that time after Mania period where everyone can be revamped. Jeff Hardy and Matt Hardy have been awfully mishandled over the last year in particular. Matt Hardy especially. But now they've got the tag belts... It frees up the Usos. It changes the SmackDown tag division. I feel excited about what's going to happen.
And this wasn't Broken Hardys. This wasn't Broken Matt. This wasn't V1 Matt. This wasn't Face Paint Jeff. This wasn't Charismatic Enigma Jeff. This was 1999, 2000 Hardy Boys with a Z. It was like a time machine had come into play. Doc Brown had brought them from 1999 to appear here in 2019, 20 years later.
Yeah, it was a good nostalgia pop.
Had the pants and everything.
But as we saw when they first came back in 2016, WrestleMania 33, I believe, that they were also their old gimmick there, and it grew tired very quickly.
Like the Dudley
and
Boys
they
as well.
Weren't over, well, they were over, but they weren't as over as when they came back. That pop when they returned was insane.
Absolutely nuts, yeah.
So hopefully next week they change up their gimmick.
But Sal and Q from Impractical Jokers loved it. They were celebrating in the front row. They announced that they are 8-time tag team champions. Usos to Raw?
Yeah. Certainly possible.
I'm saying it's certainly possible. And then Kayla got into the ring in a very groovy suit. You loved her. Orangey velvet suit that she was wearing.
With flares on at the bottom.
It was very Austin Powers.
She wasn't wearing that earlier, was she?
I think she was, yeah. So,
oh, hi, Hardy Boys. What are you doing here?
And and then all of a sudden, they're about to cut this promo. Lars Sullivan comes out and kills the Hardy Boys. Echoes of Brock Lesnar's debut in 2002 when his first feud was against the Hardy Boys. Real echoes of that.
I was worried when Lars came down that it would make the Hardys and the tag team championships look a bit weak because he's going to beat them both up. But by the end of the segment, I didn't feel that. Mm-hmm. So whatever they did, I can't quite put my finger on what. Maybe it's because they just wrestled a match. But I felt like everyone came out looking better.
Yeah, Lars came out and he absolutely destroyed the Hardy Boys. I joked that perhaps he's trying to kill the Attitude Era, going after Kurt Angle, going after Matt Hardy. And Jeff Hardy, until you pointed out to me, then who is he going to go after next?
Yeah, I think it's more, this is the Raw and SmackDown after Mania crowd. They like the legends. Let's get easy heat that way. So I don't see it being an Attitude Era killer gimmick. Stop doing the headbutt.
Yes, absolutely. Stop. Aside from the fact it shouldn't be done anyway, it looks crap.
I don't think it looks crap.
I think it looks really, really crap. Hmm. I think it looks like he falls over. As he's not diving into it.
He's got one arm here, isn't he?
It is. It's basically just like, it's just like dead weight. He Mizdads it all the way down. It's the Mizdad headbutt. I think his pants are still stupid. Lars written on his Lars. I think it looks bad. But the diving headbutt's rubbish. Anyway, so do you remember on Raw where Becky Lynch came out and bragged about how she was Becky Two Bells and then got beat up by Lacey Evans? Well, they just did that again on SmackDown. It's the exact same angle on SmackDown.
Sometimes you've got to repeat spots to get it over, haven't you? Yeah, Becky came down, she cut the exact same promo. Not the exact same promo, that's hyperbole, but it was very, very similar. And she got Becky Two Belts chanting again. There was an interview with Gorilla Position where they asked her, are you allowed to say belt?
Yeah, because that's what holds your trousers up.
And Becky just said, I'm the double champ, I can do whatever I want. It was a great answer and a very good question.
Yeah.
Didn't think about belts and how much Vince hates that word.
I love James D'Lo. He's very good at his job.
But Becky said all that, and I thought, oh, okay, so someone different is going to come out.
That's what I
thought.
And
then Becky can feud with two different people on both brands, and then maybe you build towards Money in the Bank while she has to defend both belts in the same night. Oh, that's exciting. That's underdog while still making her the top thing in the division and very strong. That's a great balance to strike. But it was just Lacey Evans again.
Yeah, Lacey Evans came out and clocked her. Again, I'm all for Lacey Evans. I think it's good to get a fresh feud for Becky Lynch, move her away from the Charlottes and the Ronda Rouseys and get her into a new program. So I'm all for that. As I said in the review, yeah, it would have been better if it was Naomi or Ruby Riott or Sarah Logan or like
Sasha Banks and Bayley.
Sasha Banks or something.
Those
like,
are the yeah, ones.
Absolutely. There's like absolutely. Well, I'm a bit past them now, but that's not their fault. That's WWE.
It's after Mania. You can revamp people.
Well, she's got
the Hardys just won the tag belts.
Sasha Banks has got her personal problems. Apparently, she's got personal issues. That's why she can do talk shows. So I'm all for the Lacey Evans thing. At present, and again, as I said in the Raw review, they're finally doing something with two of those six people that they called up in December last year. So, and we've been asking for them to do something with them, and they're doing something with them. So I'm all for that.
I am not into Lacey Evans. I think it's a cartoon gimmick, which usually I'm not against, but she needs to be built up beyond just walking out and walking backstage again. She needs to be built up with matches before she and her cartoon little gimmick puncture this beautiful Becky realism that she's somehow managed with Ronda Rousey. I get that people are optimistic. It's that time of year where you're looking ahead at things. I've certainly done that with a lot of things. However, you're all going to come back to me in a couple of months' time and go, oh my God, this Lacey Evans-Becky Lynch feud is still going on. Becky Lynch is cooling off considerably. You were right, Ollie. So, yeah.
Let's see then.
I want to be wrong, but this is what they're going to do. I
just so negative. I just don't know why you hate SmackDown so much.
I hate women. that's the difference.
Sorry, I apologize. Yeah. Anyway, our main event, such as it was New Day versus Drew McIntyre and The Bar. Drew McIntyre. Sami Zayn also came out to. Okay, so Sami.
Bars of War.
Yeah.
Dogs of Bar. Sorry.
Sami Zayn came out. His gimmick appears to be now. We thought it was like Daniel Bryan on Raw. It's now Lacey Evans and Daniel Bryan on SmackDown. He came out and then was like, no, you're not worth it, and walked to the back. Now that Lacey Evans isn't doing, because that's what Lacey's gimmick was supposed to be. The catwalk, she was walking down to the ring and telling people, you're not worth my time, and walking back. From my understanding, that's what it was about.
Mm.
That was just never conveyed in either A, her performance, or B, the commentary.
I agree.
Or see everything else.
Hmm.
But that's what Sami did here. He came out and was just like, no, you guys aren't worth my time. And threw the mic down and left.
Yeah. After the entire crowd sung his entrance music and cheered him. What a heel turn.
Yep.
Home run.
Hasn't quite worked. And yeah, so the first thing that Drew did, he did this Alabama slam to Woods on the table.
Which was great. And Xavier sold it fantastically.
Then we got an ad break. We came back, Big E was doing a hot tag, and Drew was never seen. I have no idea what happened to Drew. He disappeared. He Kayla Braxton'd. He Renee Young'd.
Mm.
He just disappeared.
Yeah, so this match got started with about 9 minutes of the show left, and they needed to get an ad break in as well. So we missed a hot tag. That obviously came in the ad break. Drew being transported back to his home planet obviously happened in the ad break. So, but we only really got 4 minutes of this main event. Thank God they didn't cut anybody wishing Becky Lynch and Kofi Kingston congratulations for winning the belts. It was a house show main event that didn't even get the time that would have made it properly fun.
Yeah.
So it was a bit of a failure as a final segment.
Yeah.
But nowhere near the level of the previous night.
It was just there so the good guys could win and Kofi could celebrate in the ring with the Kofi Kidstons and Chi-Chi. And that was very lovely. I thought they might use this to try and set up a Drew program with Kofi Kingston. Mm-hmm. But Drew just, as you said, his planet needed him. He had to go now.
I loved the final shots when Kofi brought in his kids and Chi-Chi and they're all just celebrating. It's still genuinely lovely. And I just I love it. Especially when, like, the elder kid got on the turnbuckle again and then just started playing with Big E.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you're so cute, all of you.
It is adorable.
So I want them to keep doing this for a couple, for like a month.
And then Big E to slam one of the kids.
Not Big E, but then something terrible happens. Like, like whatever the program is with the next person. Usually Samoa Joe. He likes targeting people's families.
Yeah. Ooh.
That they come out and they, ooh, Chi-Chi. And they just lay waste to everyone. Not the kids, but maybe the kids are made to watch. I don't know. I'm a sick man. It'd be nice to build up and then just go crazy.
Yeah. But it was fine. It was just too short. And I think with hindsight, I'd have cut the Sammy thing. I'd have cut down the Shane McMahon thing and given more time to this main event.
Yeah. Agreed. But still a fun show.
Fun show. Yeah, I gave it a low smacktastic. What about you?
Yeah, I'd say a low smacktastic, yeah.
Yeah, cool. Randy Datson.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was actually the first time.
No, I wanted questions. I don't want to hear your thoughts.
I just thought it was the first time I haven't liked Becky in ages because it was just word for word last night. And she was like, oh, I'm not going to get anyone attack me now. And then she goes up and turns around and it's like... Anyway, that annoyed me.
Again, I don't want your opinions, mate.
Yeah. Okay. Start Recording says, what is your favourite open challenge of all time?
Kevin Owens' debut.
Yeah.
Against John Cena. Didn't lead to a match, but it really, like, it made Kevin Owens seem such, like, a major deal. Coming out as the NXT champion. And, yeah, like, I thought Kevin was just so good in that moment.
Hmm.
And, yeah, and then they had that match, and Kevin Owens won. It was really good.
Was Neville versus Seth Rollins an open challenge?
That's what someone said in the chat. That was their favorite.
Okay.
So I agree. The Kevin Owens debut is top, but just for the sake of having a different answer, if that was an open challenge, that match was incredible.
Yeah.
And I bought in to Neville beating Seth Rollins as the whatever championship it was at the time.
Hey, he'll never get over. T-shirt company, mate. Randy Jetson.
Tomo.
Tomo.
How long will the Iconics hold the belts? In fact, I only want Luke. Sorry, I've ruined this. I only want Luke's opinion. I was going to say Ollie,
what the
but
hell, man?
Ruined that.
I've been on your side.
I know. That's why
I got
I ruined
him to reintroduce
tired.
You.
Okay. Well, thank you, Randy. A long time. I don't want them to hold the belts forever, but I think they could get a really good run with them. I think this is an act that could get massively over to a WWE crowd.
Yeah, 4 months.
Yeah. But they'll have lost it by SummerSlam.
Which would be 4 months.
Yeah.
Do you think Asuka needs a manager? That is from Manchetta.
No.
Start Recording again says, could the Street Profits be as popular as Crime Time?
Were Crime Time popular?
That's what I thought when I read that question.
Yeah, I think they could be more popular.
Yeah, they'd be way more popular.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't think Crime Time were really that over.
Yo.
They had, hands down, one of the grossest segments I've ever seen WWE do when Lita had her farewell moment and they stole her gym bag and started selling her underwear to the crowd. And I think they had, like... they were making jokes about her having venereal diseases and things like that. It was so great. Lita has gone on record to say that she was so upset by the whole thing. And it was not funny. And it really doesn't hold up at all. It's gross. Datsun.
Jack Dolan. Not a question, but he says, recast Seinfeld with wrestlers.
This is probably more a question for you. I'm not a Seinfeld guy. I'm a Friends guy.
Kramer would be... Well, Jerry's Sami Zayn, right? George would be... This is tough. Who's neurotic? George would also be Sami Zayn. Just everyone is Sami Zayn. That's tough. I need to think about that question more.
And the last thing. Everyone, quite a few people suggesting that we should get an Instagram.
The gram. I don't know why you can't just get enough of us on all the platforms already.
Yeah, I mean, what do you do on the gram?
You have more. It's more picture based.
But we're videos.
Yeah, I think you can have videos on there. Yeah, they've got IGTV, which is a
monetize a platform you can't yet monetize, so I'm not interested in it. It's not on my radar. Yeah, I mean, we don't need one.
I think we're bad enough at running a Facebook and Twitter account. I don't think we need to add more work to it. To my point, Randy, because I know you bought a Facebook because you run it. What I mean by that is you've got enough on your plate already without having another social media platform for us to try and grow.
Yeah.
And we're busy people. Maybe we'll give it to Pete. That'll be his first task.
So is that all we've got time for?
I think it might be.
Well, we are finally going home.
Yes.
Me and Luke after.
Well, I'm going out for dinner with my mum, but yeah.
I'm going to go home and watch Captain America Civil War, probably with some chicken nuggets.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. And vegetables. I've missed vegetables.
Yeah.
And daylight.
What's Andy doing?
What's Andy doing?
Oh, I'm going on a date tonight, so it'd be fun.
Ooh, yeah. Where are you going?
Date slayer.
I'm going quite far. The bar next door.
To bar 90?
Get a bar, really?
Mm. Mm.
Why didn't you go to Four Quarters?
Yeah.
There's video games.
Because
there.
I don't know.
It's a better idea, isn't it? I think you need to.
She suggested Bar 90 a while ago, so I just thought we'd go there.
To be honest, but the pub across the way is way better.
Yeah.
We'll go there. Stop date shaming me.
We're trying to help you here. But that pub is way nicer. It's got much nicer beers.
Oh, what? The pub.
I don't care about
the corner.
That.
You get a discount there. If you say that you work down the road, they'll give you a discount.
Do they have nice food?
They do cheese toasties.
It's not the nicest.
Yeah, I think
got Breville out back.
I'm more going for a burger, and they do good burgers next door.
If you're looking for food, I was going to say because Four Quarters only does pizza.
What do the comments say? What are the comments saying? Where should Andy go?
Calling me incredibly handsome.
They're not saying that. I can see them too.
they're just going yay and calling me Randy Dateson.
Oh, that's good. Very good.
Yeah. Date Slayer.
And Tomo suggesting that he is dating. I'm dating him.
Oh well, he is your number one fan.
He certainly is. Yeah. I'm a little bit concerned about your cough.
I know it's not going, is it?
Yeah.
I think the last week has exasperated it. But it's tickling.
Exasperated.
What did I say?
You said exasperated. But I think you mean exacerbated.
Exacerbated?
Yeah.
Exasperated.
Exacerbate means to make things worse.
Yeah.
As we learned from Shaun of the Dead. You're saying exasperated.
Exasperate. And you're saying...
Exacerbate.
We're saying the exact same thing.
No, you're saying it with a P.
This is our truth in Carmella. Exasperate.
Exacerbate.
Exammerate.
Maramarate.
Hawawa.
I think we're feeling a bit delirious now. I'm going to try and read an email. And this comes in from Martin Harmon. Interesting topic here from Martin. Hi, Luke, Ollie, Laurie, and Chopper. Firstly, thanks for all the content over the WrestleMania weekend. Great stuff as always. When you were talking about the match between Kofi and Daniel Bryan, it reminded me of a time I had a small Rusev hay with Walter. I was at a Progress show in London when Walter won the Progress title and the place became unglued. Everyone was celebrating and after Walter left the ring, Jim Smallman did his thanking bit to the fans as everyone left. As he finished, I turned around and at the merch table was a full in-gear Walter. I went over and quickly shook his hand and said congratulations. I made it quick before everyone swarmed the table, but as I was there, someone helping hung up a Walter Progress Champion t-shirt with the date, chapter name and venue on it, much like the Kofi match. This left me conflicted at the time. I know American sports teams make these sorts of shirts in advance for both winners, but I didn't really like the fact that the match clearly being predetermined was acknowledged. At the same time, I know merch is how these guys make a lot of money, so I shouldn't judge. What do you guys think? Should the feeling be the same between WWE guys and indie guys, or should the indie guys be left off as it helps their income? Thanks again, and since my last email, I've become a pledge hammer and love the Wrestle League and additional podcast. Well worth the $5 if anyone is thinking about it. Regards, Martin.
Yeah, I see the point. I understand why you would want to have it made. I guess you could just argue that you were so confident you were going to win, you made these t-shirts anyway.
Yeah.
The Kofi Bryan situation, I'm not that angry about the t-shirt because they made both t-shirts.
Yeah.
As they said later on in the show, the B team were modeling the Daniel Bryan is still the champion t-shirt. So okay, I'm like, okay, the problem with that match was the plinth.
Yes, plinth was the issue.
Well, they had the new title obviously underneath it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the problem there.
I agree. And also, to your point about should this feeling be the same between WWE guys and indie guys, and should indie guys be left off as it helps their income? It helps WWE guys' income as well. I think there's a large portion of the money that WWE stars make is from merchandise sales. They probably make more from that than they do their actual job.
It depends.
Depends on how big of a star you are. Yeah. But like CM Punk used to say, like, he'd get like checks every month for like millions of dollars for merchandise sales.
You're welcome, CM Punk. I bought every single t-shirt.
Yeah, so
I had wristbands.
Oh, why?
I had CM Punk wristbands because I was at a house show, I saw CM Punk, and I just wanted, I was delirious with fandom. I just want, you know that when you're like, I just want to buy something with his name on. It was just that. It was blind purchasing want.
Yeah. We got this email in last night as well during this SmackDown Live review. This comes in from Lucas in reference to our Raw review podcast. Greetings, Luke, Ollie, and the extremely trustworthy Laurie, Blake, Chopper, Pete, and the rest of the amazing WrestleTalk team, but never, ever, Sandy, Mandy, Candy, Fandy, Datsun. I was just listening to the most recent WrestleTalk podcast while I was feeding my four-month-old daughter and heard your battle with finding your wife's missing phone. I too have to deal with this issue on what seems like a daily basis. Also, my wife does leave her phone on vibrate as well. I have found the ultimate solution to this problem. I must preface by saying that I have an iPhone and live in the state, the great state of Texas. This may not work for you, but worth a try. Do not call the phone. Listening for a vibrating phone will drive you crazy. Instead, use the Find My iPhone app. In the app, there is a play a sound option, and this will play a loud ringing sound even if the phone is on vibrate. I hope this helps you keep up the great and consistent work. And P.S. This is for you, Ollie. And yes, Luke, I spelled oil, not Ollie. And he sent you this image here because it's the sort of thing you really enjoy.
Oh, God damn it. It's a it's a minion. Minion wearing a, well, dressed as Bray Wyatt maybe there. He's got a little Hawaiian shirt on. He's got a little hat on. He's holding a camera. And the caption that takes up the large majority of this image reads, "Life is like a camera. Focus on what's important. Capture the good times. Develop from the negatives. And if things don't work out, take another shot." And focus, capture, develop, and take another shot are all slightly bolded in a different typeface and in a different colour. It's absolutely asinine trollop that people who don't understand memes post on Facebook.
Ollie has, if you've not listened to the old Flickr Myth podcast, or I think this was on Ramble Club, this came up, your deep hatred of minion images, or images of just like inspirational quotes that it also has a minion on them, that is unconnected to the quote.
I find anyone who posts sincere motivational caption things like that anyway.
You're going to say claptrap.
Very annoying. And anyway, because they are usually the most self-sabotaging people anyway, that they always think like, yeah, tomorrow I'm going to do this thing. Here's, and they post that, they post, because I know people like this. They've admitted it to me. They post it and they feel like they've already accomplished the thing. Like, no, that's the thing you look at to help you accomplish the thing. And it gives them a little buzz of self-satisfaction, and I have to deal with it on my Facebook feed, and I'll end up unfriending you. And then how do you make it worse? You add a minion. I like the minions. I think they're really, really funny.
Bottom.
Yeah, they're like, I enjoy the Minion solo movie. I think they're really good slapstick performers. They're cute. But now you've just put them on a banal inspirational quote. And I don't know. It's the Comic Sans. It's writing Comic Sans without using the font Comic Sans.
And my wife doesn't have an iPhone, so that unfortunately does not help me as advice.
That would be fun though, like, because if it works, even if it's on silent,
yeah. You
can make people get very angry at her.
Oh, yeah.
So like, say you're in the movies, you're at a theatre.
Oh, but then I'd have to be on my phone. When I went to go see Pet Sematary.
Just go to the toilet and do it.
When I went to go see Pet Sematary last, God, when was that? Friday? God, that feels like a long time ago. There was a woman who came in 20 minutes late into the film.
Come on.
And then ate a ginormous bag of crisps.
It's a crunchy snack.
And then took phone calls.
Took a phone call?
Yeah. Multiple.
It's not Costa, love.
But she was trying to be quiet about it because she was in a cinema.
Oh, well, that's nice. That's considerate. a special place. Yeah, special place right next to the Minion posters for you in hell, lady.
I saw a something on Twitter, actually. It was about like unpopular cinema opinions. You know, those Twitter things like post your unpopular cinema opinions. And someone had tweeted saying, like, I think it's fine to talk during films. They're loud enough anyway. You won't hear me. There's a special place for all of you.
Yeah.
Next to Minion posters. That is all we've got time for on this show. Laurie and Pete will be here tomorrow for the NXT ramble. We won't have a weekend episode up, will we?
No, I think we're going to have a day off.
We're going to have some time off, I'm afraid. Yeah. But we'll be back for Raw, SmackDown and NXT next week.
Superstar Shake-Up.
Superstar Shake-Up indeed. So it's going to be a very busy week for us. And if you are one of our Patreon pledge hammers, the poll for Wrestle Ramble Extra is currently open. In the lead is WrestleMania 30. So that should be out in a couple of weeks if all goes to plan. Head over to patreon.com/WrestleTalk to get involved over there. Thank you so much for listening. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.